You cannot just close the pier based on those allegations.
That's why they are closing the piers to fishing.
There's no water that you can stand off and fish.
It's because of tourism. It's impacting our tourism. Now tourism creates employment.
We've come a long way. We are an established, recognized organization.
There you go, buddy. Hit it now!
This is the Angler News SA Podcast. I'm Vanessa Green.
Welcome to another Angler News Podcast. Today we are talking to John Peter Narayansamy. John Peter, or better known as JP within the industry, is from the KZN Subsistence Fishing Forum. He is the chairman, and on the 1st of May, there was a march, a peaceful march amongst the anglers, to air their views on why aren't they allowed to fish on more piers, or why are they limited to the areas they are fishing on. So we are sitting down with JP today, and JP is going to tell us all about it from their perspective and also the challenges they are faced as anglers or subsistence anglers in KZN. So JP, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's start off with telling us, what is the KZN Subsistence Fishing Forum about?
Okay, we represent thousands of poor, vulnerable fisher folks who are reliant on catching fish to sustain a living, either to put food on the table or to sell an inner income.
Okay, how wide does this area go? How far do you represent us? Is it just Durban? Is it inland? Is it along the entire coastline?
It is the KZN Subsistence Fishing Forum, and we got members from far north, Richards Bay, Tugela, down south to Margate, Ramsgate area.
All right, cool. JP, let's start with subsistence. What is your definition of subsistence fishing?
It's when somebody is reliant on something.
Right.
The word subsistence. So our fisher folks are the poor, vulnerable, destitute fisher folks. And when I say fisher folks, we're talking about men, women, and children that go out to fish to sustain the living.
Right.
And these are the unemployed people who are living below the poverty line.
Mm.
And there's no other funds besides the mere social grants that they collect.
Yes.
And considering the high level of unemployment, it's so difficult for them to find a job. Some of them do engage in part-time jobs during the day, and they want to fish at night. Others obviously fishing at day and at night.
Mm.
So these people are trying to earn a living by catching fish to sustain the living.
Okay. All right. Well, that definitely defines the true meaning of subsistence fishing, you know, to sustain right. one's basic needs, which is food, obviously.
Correct.
Now, on the 1st of May, your organization put a whole group together. You all invited the anglers. What was this protest about?
Well, there was a call from our fisher folks. If I have to just take a step back.
Yeah.
We have regular engagements with the fishing community.
Sure.
In various areas from north down south of the coastline. And there was a call to state that they want us to step in, to be the voice for them, to address the relevant authorities to have access to those piers on the beachfront. Because currently, there's just the Snake Park Pier that is open.
Right.
And if you're looking at the many locals from the Phoenix, Verulam area that go and fish there, they cannot travel out. They don't have the funds and the sources to go and travel further down south or further up north. So they're saying Snake Park Pier is a very short pier. Not? And what happens is, at the high water, they're at risk in the sense that the water comes and sprays over the pier. Some of the fishermen have lost their belongings, and when the water is low, 3/4 of the pier is like basically empty. There's no water that you can stand off and fish. So they're saying, you've got other piers that are built.
Yeah.
Why not allow us to go and fish there? So they wanted us to speak to the authorities and get us involved, so that we can make decisions to have the piers open. And there was a memorandum served at the end of the march to an official from the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment, who accepted the memorandum and mentioned that, well, obviously she couldn't make any decisions, but she was going to take it over to the task team.
Right.
And what surprised us is that There is a task team that has been formed that sits and have meetings. I don't know the frequency of those meetings.
Yeah.
But those are the ones that are making the decisions. So we said, hang on, we are part of the users of the ocean. Why not include somebody from our organization, a representative, to sit in those task teams and have those discussions? Because it's only fair. We should be part of the stakeholder committee. Because what we say is that it's senseless they're having the discussions with the restaurant and hotel owners or surfers, but we are not there inclusive. So it should be a collective decision, because we feel there should be no decision for us without us being present.
Now, going back to your protest, is this purely regarding the piers, fishing off piers?
That's correct.
It's got nothing to do with the licenses or, you know, anglers fishing without licenses, bag and size limits, any of those things.
It's not about that, but I hear where you're coming from. Official who had went on air saying that the reasons why fisher folks were not allowed to use those piers.
Mm.
And there were allegations of anglers not having the valid fishing permits.
Yes.
They're catching undersized fish. Now, I will say that these allegations must be put forward to us as an organization for us to address it.
Mm.
We cannot accept some allegations without substantive proof. I mean, if I may give an example, if you look at a national freeway, the guys are speeding. They may have unlicensed drivers. Mm. The government cannot go and close that N2 on the freeway.
Valid point, yeah.
They have law enforcement who is accountable to take the necessary action.
Mm.
If these allegations are substantive in the sense that our fisher folks are being accused of not having a valid fishing permit, that they're flouting the regulations by exceeding the bag limit or catching undersized species, you have law enforcement. You have compliance officers from the Department of Fisheries to man these kind of transgressions. So these perpetrators should be brought to book. You cannot just close the pier based on those allegations.
Or give us a few anglers, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look, then they say the people are staying over there. If you look throughout this province, let alone the rest of the country, there are a lot of people that are homeless.
Yeah.
There are homeless people living on those piers. They are living at the streets of the promenade. You cannot label them and say that these are part of the fisher folks. And just to put on record, 2 days after that peaceful protest we had, on the 3rd of May, one of our fishermen had to dive into the sea to rescue a lady who was intoxicated and was trying to commit suicide.
Whoa.
There was no lifeguards on duty, but you look at the benefit of our fishing folks being present there at that part of the time who went to save somebody's life. So this cannot be taking one or two bad elements and painting a bad picture, broad picture of the rest of the fishing folks. That is very unfair. Mm-hmm. So we want the authorities to sit with us and discuss.
Right.
Like I mentioned earlier, we have many community engagements with our fisher folk. We teach them. We address them. We raise awareness. Now, when they're talking about the place being faulty, when we engage with the community, with the fisher folks,
yes,
we hand out flyers. The last flyer that we hand out to our fisher folks are the do's and don'ts when you go fishing.
Right.
But I'll just stress on one point.
Mm.
We had clearly states at the very end, the only thing that you as a fisher person should leave back on the beach is your footprints.
Okay.
All your dirt must be removed, because you took there, you take it back. If you do not find a refuse, bin in that facility, you took it to the beach, you take it back home and dispose. So we're raising awareness. We're educating our people. We want them to know what is right.
So from what I can understand, the stigma attached to anglers, you know, well, that we are bullies on the pier, that we vagrants sleeping, messing up the place, leaving our baits all over. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I wasn't a victim when I was learning to fish as well. Obviously, I learned on North Pier. I got a snake park pier. I got bullied until I knew how to fish properly. But at the same token, I totally agree. We cannot generalize. There was could have been one bad person that was mean to me. And it's not to say, oh no, we're going to not go there again because of one bad fisherman. The point I'm trying to make is that they are saying It's because of tourism. It's impacting our tourism. Now, tourism creates employment, right? And if our tourism is going down because of the what they're accusing the anglers of being, that's why they are closing the piers to fishing. Any response to that?
Look, it's difficult for me to come in to state, yes, it is those our fisher folks that are involved.
Yeah.
But we gladly welcome the evidence. And yeah, we also want the law enforcement, whether it's SAPS or whoever it is, to make sure that those individuals who are flouting the rules and the regulations, they be arrested and brought to book. We need to set an example. We are not manning that place 24/7.
No, you can't.
We have officials within our organization. We have the reflective vests indicating who they are, and they are part of the groups fishing there. And we know they take a stand to ensure that everything is compliant with every user on the pier.
For instance, on that note, are you guys part of DAF with this? Or is this totally independent?
No, we are totally independent.
Okay, so you have your guys officiating to make sure the fishing is done in the correct way.
Correct.
It's got nothing to do with the government organization.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
We're independent.
Right.
So they are there to man, to ensure that there's no guys consuming alcohol, drugs, lighting of fires, violence, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right? And we have executive meetings. These are part of our executives we're talking about.
Mm.
Right? It's not only in the piers. It's right through the coast. We have executives from different areas. So we have our regular executive meeting. And issues are brought forward. And so we go and attend to it.
Right.
So I'm not disputing the fact there may be some incidents. And if it has involved our fisher folks, probably one of our representative, official and executive was not present at that time.
Mm.
But we want the authorities to bring these guys to book. You cannot take one bad apple and tarnish the whole organization's image.
Yeah.
We've come a long way. We are an established, recognized organization. We are known to the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment.
Mm.
Even Minister Creasy has sent a delegation to come and sit with us to formalize a way forward on how to get recognition as a subsistence fisher, because we are all holding a recreational permit. So I don't want to dwell in too much in detail about it,
but it's
part of work in progress,
okay,
where the department officials have recognized us and working towards giving us recognition with the respective benefits and obviously to revise the regulations.
Just talking about the piers, right? We want to fish on more piers. Is that our protest or argument? One might ask, well, surely we can fish in other areas? And, I mean, we are allowed to fish at Virginia Pier, all those other areas. Why do we specifically want the Durban piers or the piers on the Golden Mile? I know you did explain accessibility, of course. However, are we having this argument for South Pier as well? Are we having this argument for North Pier? Why aren't we saying, well, if we are living in the Phoenix Verum area, surely we could go to Virginia Pier, which is closer than getting to Durban Piers?
Okay. I'm glad you touched on this point here. Back in, I think it was 2006, if I'm not mistaken, tend to be corrected, when there was the 9/11 Twin Towers bomb. What had happened was there was a national call for tighter restrictions within every port of entry, also in South Africa, globally, and South Africa in particular.
Yeah.
So the TNPA, Transnet National Port Authority, had banned fishing on the North Pier and South Pier, because that's the main entrance into the harbor. Okay? They banned fishing. We are taking that case to court and fought that case. The court had ruled in our favor, saying that as subsistence fishers, we should be recognized as users of the port. Hence, TNPA, Transnet National Port Authority, allowed and opened up those piers, North and South Pier. But what they'd done was, they issued permits, the Transnet permits, which allowed you access to the piers.
Right.
That does not mean you still do not need an angling permit. That was only access to those piers, right? So let's go back. You're questioning Virginia Pier. It's been some time since I visited that pier. but I'm not sure whether that pier had been fixed because it had been damaged. Yeah. And there were incidents of fishermen in particular, falling off the pier and getting swept into the sea.
Right.
And you cannot allow the vast number of fisher folks from the Verulam and Phoenix community to go there. So we say, open up the other piers. The piers are there.
Yeah.
Right? We respect other users of the piers.
Yeah.
We respect the surfers, we respect the divers, the snorkelers, the bathers. But with all due respect, we know that those activities closed at night. There's no surfing, there's no bathing at night.
Of course.
So why don't the authorities give us access, give our fisher folks access to go and fish off those piers, especially from sunset to sunrise, where there's nobody, no other person or ocean user that we can pose a threat to them. So we say, these new piers, they were built just before the 2010 World Cup, but just closed it. They never allowed us fishing.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, one very important point here. Those piers are protruding far longer into the ocean, deeper into the ocean, as compared to Snake Park Pier.
Mm.
And the point I want to make here is this. When the person is fishing off the pier, it simulates as if he's fishing off a boat. So these piers, poor fisherman's boat.
Yeah.
Because they have the privilege of throwing the line into deeper waters than standing on the shore and trying to cast the line into the sea. Because they are fishing with all traditional gear, not expensive fishing gear where they could cast from the shore deep into the ocean.
Sure.
So we want them to benefit by fishing off those piers.
Okay, now going back to your compromise in this, if you were to have these piers open, right? They were saying, okay, well, obviously, there'll be the policing, right? No bullying, no violence, you know, no abuse. But like, say, the cleaning up, for example, anglers are often accused of leaving their bait. I know not all anglers, but you would have those that, you know, cutting up bait on the pier, making it not so pleasant when someone's going for a morning run and wants to stand at the edge of the pier and enjoy the ocean. What would be a solution to something like that? How would we stop something like that? I mean, I totally get where you said previously, we can't stop people from driving on the street because someone throws their litter about, and we have people cleaning it up.
I will agree to you to some extent. You may get those individuals, you know, those culprits who do not want to clean up after the mess.
But I mean, I'm not specifically pointing the pier. This happens all over the coastline.
Absolutely.
But because we are talking about
generally, the pier, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It happens in other areas as well.
Right.
About 2 years back, Transnet had given us access to at Granta Gully.
Yeah,
I'm not sure whether you visited that place.
Mm.
It was like a total bush.
Mm.
It was. We invested our money, our resources, with some funding and sponsors.
Mm.
Whatever, look at the place.
Beautiful. I have.
We got same kind benches, at tables. We put bins there. At a certain frequency, we go at our cost. Remove those waste, uplift it for a safe disposal to a refuse site, right? Just yesterday, our team of guys had finished a job at North Pier. We went and put up bait cutting boards.
Oh, okay.
About 3 months back, we went and put bins.
Hmm.
We provide the refuse bags. We're going to remove those bags. Sometimes they have the help of the guys who's fishing there. Carry all those bags. Tie them up and go leave them out on the main road, on the point road.
For the guys.
Where DSW come and uplift.
Right? So you guys are doing this as your own independent organization.
Absolutely. Even on the Snake Park Pier, we put cutting boards. We put bins.
Yes. Right?
We do this throughout the coast.
Mm.
We go and do beach cleanups. After the rainbow in April 2022,
yes,
there was a lot of muck on the beach.
Yeah, sure.
Right? We don't want to go and expose ourselves and say, look what we're doing, look what we're doing. But we have proof. We have sufficient proof to say we engage in all these kind of things. We get communities to come in the respective areas, right? We provide them with refreshments, something to drink. We go up, we clean the beach. And there's some conservancy groups down the south coast. They took recognition of that. And they praised us and they said, you know what?
Yes.
So there again now, as much as we're trying to do the thing, get the people to do the right thing, right?
you might just get one or two.
No, naturally.
You know, by default.
Yeah, of course.
Or one to, you know, not follow the rules. But our guys are there to educate them. We try to say to them, listen, hang on. This is what you should be doing.
Yes.
Although we're not mandated to enforce arrest if those guys are breaking the regulations in catching the fish species. But you have compliance officers that are employed by the Department of Fisheries. It's their job. They're mandated to go and check for your fishing license, to check that you're catching the right amount of the bag limit and species or undersized fish. It's their job. It's like I said, government has got their law enforcement to mend their toll roads or the N2s. They won't just shut it down because of some transgression of speeding and unlicensed drivers.
Yeah.
Just like this. If unlicensed fishermen there on the pier, he must be arrested. Yes. The guy is breaking the regulation, he must be arrested. Don't punish them vast majority because one or two.
100%. I totally agree with you. All right. Okay. JB, this was highly insightful, highly informative. Where are we right now? Where are we moving from here? What is the plan?
Well, okay, now we just made a call and we said to our fisher folks that they should not be going there on the piers.
Right? Okay.
I'm told there's security guards guarding that empty pier. Got the money to guard an empty pier. Right. But I said, do not go and fish there. Just wait for the outcome. Like I said, the memorandum has been received by an official from the Department of Fisheries. And it was a request that we be included,
right,
or a representative from our fishing organization be included in those discussions with their task team.
Sure.
So that we could sit and not contest, but allow them to say the reasons why they are objecting.
Mm.
And give us an opportunity to say, listen, why we need it. Like I said, if there's some perpetrators that are breaking the law, they must be brought to book. But we cannot allow the rest of them to be deprived from the privilege of fishing off those piers. So we haven't been told when's the meeting going to be called, when they're going to get us in to sit and discuss, but we're hoping that we can go to the table and collectively have discussions around this, because all along we've been excluded. So allow us to come in, engage with them so that we can talk.
Fantastic. Great way to end it. Guys, this is the Angler News Podcast. Mr. John Peter Narayansamy, chairman of the KZN Subsistence Fishing Forum. JP, it's been an absolute pleasure learning from you and talking to you this morning. Thank you.
This is the Angler News SA Podcast. I'm Vanessa Green. Find more episodes at ecr.co.za under podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Let's fish for the future.